front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Well, we just found Dan Balzerian's kryptonite. He just joined us in some sense during the last segment. I said, in a cage match, legal, they'd agree, we're not threatening violence. In Vegas, bare knuckles, would you take on Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, Congressman Randy Fine, and Congressman Nadler for charity? He said, I don't know, all of them at once. Most of them can't even walk. Can't even walk. No, you're scared. Your kryptonite is Nadler. Put Nadler back on screen. Does this not intimidate you?
Oh, man. Yeah, now that I've seen it, but it's a little different story.
You're not intimidated by that guy?
No. Probably could take.
Let me tell you, a strong wind blows by, those guys fall down. Okay, look, that is not, like you've trained with, like, you know, top Lance Armstrong, you name it. You're not intimidated by that?
Not after seeing him. I wasn't familiar with the man you were speaking about, but now after seeing him, I feel.
But you got caught up by the break. How about Ben Shapiro? Would you do a cage match with him?
Yeah, I would love to. I would absolutely love to.
Getting serious here. They're all going to say we threaten them. It's a joke, folks. Let's talk about Charlie Kirk, because day one he gets killed 9 months ago, September, and 8.5 months ago, and day one is Israel. And I just simply said, we don't know. But then we learned that he was coming out against Israel. He was getting threats. He said that, confirmed from my own crew. Oh, put Shapiro on screen. You're intimidated. Oh, look at that. So then I learned they were making all these threats to him. We got told by U.S. intelligence that indeed Israel was connected. That's what got killed with Joe Kent. He won't go all the way, but we knew that first. That's how Harrison Smith said he's where he's going to be killed about before he was killed. And I'm just going to stop him and ask not to give any more information. We had U.S. intelligence actually contact us. They couldn't get a hold of me, so they go track down Harrison, basically. I'm not tooting my horn. That's how busy I am. I just miss these calls. So now then, the FBI director kills the investigation 6 days after Charlie's killed. So people said, oh, you're apologizing for covering for Israel. No, I just wasn't going to say day one that. But now, with Netanyahu announcing an 8-front war a month after Charlie's killed, Netanyahu coming out 2 days after, I didn't kill Charlie, and just all this behavior, it really makes me ask serious questions, but definitely I don't buy the official story. Dan Balzerian, what do you really think happened with Charlie Kirk?
Well, I mean, yeah, the idea. So this is actually one of the reasons I got into it with Nick Fuentes. I called him out the other day because he said there was 0% chance that Charlie Kirk wasn't killed by Tyler Robinson and that it was low IQ anti-Semitism if you disagreed. And I thought that was an extremely crazy statement, given the evidence that we had. I mean, look, I've been shooting guns since I was like 5 years old, and I've shot a 30-06. I've dug those bullets out of trees. I've dug them out of animals. I know what they do. And that is it's a bonded, usually jacketed hollow point or a full metal jacket. But the whole premise of a hunting round is for that round to not frag out, because you don't want to be digging little pieces of bullet out of your meat. You also don't want to destroy too much meat. And so the idea that a bullet would stay inside of his body and you wouldn't be able to get ballistics off the back half of that 190 grain bullet is just absurd. And it also, I mean, you know, look, there is a chance that it could have hit his neck and ricocheted down. I think it's extremely unlikely that there wasn't a massive exit wound in the back. But that said, there's just a lot of very strange things. They paved over the crime site a few days later. There's theories that it was the lapel mic that exploded and sent a piece of metal into his neck. And apparently a explosives factory that makes those mics was completely obliterated with a lot of the people still inside it. And what I've been told is that Joe Kent's plane flew over the top of that and descended 7,000 feet and reduced speed to around 150 miles an hour, which is very, very strange if you're not landing a plane. I mean, you know, I would always fly my plane at 41,000 feet. Some planes fly at 50,000 feet, but you never descend to 7,000 feet unless you're landing at a runway. It burns a ton of fuel. It's totally unnecessary, and you don't usually use jets to go sightseeing. So there's just been a lot of strange things things with respect to this case. I'm not saying it was Israel. I'm just saying that they unequivocally have a strong motive to have wanted to kill Charlie Kirk if he is going to be abandoning the Israel cause, which is what he said he was going to do. He said, I'm going to be forced to abandon the Israel cause. And that would be a massive disaster for Israel because he was one of the last pillars standing, you know, for Republican Christians. And he was historically very supportive of Israel. So
sure. Well, I'm not an apologist for Nick Fuentes. He's on Thursday at 1 p.m. just like you joined us here today. But, you know, he grew up in Illinois, not a huge gun guy. And I think his thing is Tyler Robinson says he's confessed, and then you see the transgenders doing all this violence, including coming to his house. So that's what I thought up front, too. There's all this transgender stuff. I'm like, well, you know, you had all these transgenders the week before saying he'll be dead when he comes to Utah. And so that's why I was kind of like, hey, let's at least look at this. But now you look at, you know, the way Israel's been behaving, the cover-up of the whole case, all the rest of it. I mean, I don't think TPUSA is heavily involved, like some have said. But here's what I know. The vast majority of the public that I talk to, liberal, conservative, you name it, they believe Charlie Kirk was killed by Israel. So Israel's just understand that's where you are with the American people, that the majority of people don't believe a damn thing you say.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about the first thing that Israel said, right? Is like, oh, we didn't kill him. Like, that's a very strange first thing for a country to say. And if you look at one of the most important things to him was us not going to war with Iran. In fact, he talked to Trump about this on numerous occasions, that he was extremely against the possibility of a war in Iran. And so if he was potentially going to turn on Israel, if he was adamantly...
Well, he was already doing it. And let me be clear, I didn't think about this until after he was dead. He called me during Midnight Hammer and said, great job, keep it up. That's insane. You know, these forces here, Israel wants us to go to full war. It'll derail everything. Please keep it up. And Kirk didn't call me a lot. I mean, he called me like once a year. But he called me twice. Then he calls up and says, great job on Epstein. Keep the heat on. We've got to expose this. Keep it up. You've got a lot of support in the White House. So and later we have emails and text messages. He was calling other popular hosts saying the same thing. So he was really... had a lot of integrity. He was saying, man, all the cliches about the Israel lobby are true. They're threatening me. You know, all the rest of this, I'm really concerned. And text messages have come out. He's like, God, I hope they don't, you know, I hope I don't die soon. He was worried about dying that day. So, yeah.
Yeah, he said, that his donors were, you know, fulfilling all the stereotypes. He talked about how, you know, it was primarily Jews funding the NGOs that are pushing open borders. You know, he was talking about decoupling with Israel. I mean, he made a lot of statements. And the thing is, if you're going to kill the guy, you have to kill him before he comes out and is openly against Israel. The moment he's openly against Israel, you actually can't do anything because it looks so bad. And
he was reportedly days from that.
Yeah, and I find the timing very strange because apparently what I was told is that wasn't a scheduled TPUSA event. That was a last minute thing. Apparently his security detail was all brand new. And I look at Erica Kirk's behavior after this, and you know, the least she could do is honor his, you know, his wishes, right? Like, you know, she has come out and supported the war of Iran, which is totally against Charlie's beliefs. And you know, and then she's talking about hat sales like a week later, jumping up and down, all excited about that. You know, she seems like she can't wait to get on a stage. It just does not feel in any way, shape, or form to me like a grieving widow. So I'm very suspicious of this. Candace has been doing a full deep dive on it. She's 100% convinced that there's something weird going on. And as far as Tyler confessing, that's what I was told too. But then, you know, later I was told that he did not confess and that he's pleading innocent. So hopefully he's not killed before the trial, because I'm very curious of what his defense
is. I was about to say,
be.
I talked to a reporter off record, another one on record, Elizabeth Lane and one other. They've talked to 7 members of the family, the dad, the mom, the grandpa, all of them. They say none of it's true. It's all lies. He didn't do it. It's a setup. He didn't confess. And part of the tape's been released. Candace got it. But I talked to people involved. They said it's more the family's scared. And so, again, I broke the news. Everybody got mad at me with the Candace thing. They don't have 12 colonels in a base the day before with her planning to kill it. The guy randomly goes in. I think that was planted disinfo on her to discredit the real stuff she was doing. I just got mad about that, said that. Everybody got mad at me saying I was covering up and just saying this isn't how it works. But I was told by folks in the cabinet meeting, and I said, why am I being given this? They said, you're willing to do it. We're scared. They'll know it's us. And so I came out 6 days after. It was like 8 days after, 2 days after the meeting. So 6 days after, they have a meeting, and Cash Patel screaming at the vice president. The president's in there, Susie Wiles, Joe Kent, a whole bunch of them. And they're like, you're not going to investigate, he says to Tulsi Gabbard, foreign involvement, you're going to shut that investigation down, and we're not going to look at the tranny saying he'll be dead. And then 6 months later, it came out what I said was true. Obviously, it was true. So I've never been sitting here, you know, covering up the cover-up. I just wanted to go with what was real. Here's Sammy Yobib, I think you say his name, very popular comic. This is the type of stuff that's mainstream now. So Israel needs to know. Taking me out or Dan Bilzerian or any or Tucker Carlson, that's not going to work. Because the toothpaste is out of the tube. The genie's left the bottle. Here it is.
Iran made a video about Charlie Kirk. I didn't even know that was in their wheelhouse. It was literally a video. You have this Iranian general just sitting in a chair with his face blurred. He's speaking in English, which means it's to me, okay? But he has an Iranian accent. I know it's an Iranian accent because I lived in L.A. for 10 years. He's like, let me tell you about a Charlie Kirk. I'm like, what do you got for me, general? And he's like, did you know Charlie Kirk was killed by your government? I was like, yes, I did know that. I did, actually. He's like, well, while we were hacking Cash Patel for funsies, we got into your FBI's mainframe. No big deal. Apparently the password's Valhalla123. And we found documents that reveal that your government plotted the murder of Charlie Kirk, and it didn't go according to plan.
What?
Our government botched an assassination attempt? We would never. He says, well, did you know Charlie Kirk was not killed by a bullet? He was killed by an explosive device planted into his microphone that was clipped to his shirt. I know. Mind blown. Better choice of words? Sure. I'm sure a lot of people are asking, what? Who could even plant an explosive device in a small piece of technology and detonate it remotely? Who would do that? But it's a thing, and it is real. 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 And it's Israel. They did it with pagers in Lebanon. By the way, where did we get this? Trevor? Best Buy? What is it? Tel Aviv Tech? Okay. He said the device was supposed to explode downward into Charlie's chest cavity to make it seem like a clean gunshot wound to the chest. So we would all be like, oh my God, he was shot. And they'd thumbs up the fake Tyler on the roof.